Plebeians, I have returned. Continuing the second part of this podcast today. For the second half of this podcast, what I want to talk about being a dad. Being a dad's awesome, all that kind of stuff. But I want to talk about some other things that are of interest to me. One of the things that has gotten me through, it's funny. Several years ago, I got on this obsessive thing where I was playing Civilization Revolution for the Xbox 360. And what had happened with that game when it came out, it was one of those games I just was not interested in playing. But what happened was my wife was playing it, and I believe my friend Mr. Shank was playing it as well. And they were playing it, and you know, they're getting accomplishments on it. And I'm watching my wife play it, and I'm like, I don't know, this probably could be fun. It wasn't my style of game. I'm not a fan of SimCity or any of those types of games. Not that I don't like those types of games, but the investment of time for me is like, I guess I'd rather be doing something else. Plus, there's also a complexity to the game that takes a little while to learn. That I, you know, what I learned was playing any of those types of games is once you've got it figured out, it's super fun and super obsessive, and then you can play it all the time nonstop. And I'd never gotten to that point with any of those games, except for maybe The Sims when The Sims came out originally. But anyway, so my wife was playing and I was watching her play it, and then here's what I'm realizing, like, wow, okay, well, I see what you're doing there. Oh, okay, that's what that is. And then I can't remember if she kind of urged me to give it a shot, and I did, and she was kind of coaching me through. It's like, once I figured out the mechanic of it, I was playing it a lot. And then it was like, okay, you just play the game, you get a few accomplishments. You're not like really specifically going for any of the accomplishments. You're just kind of, you know, just playing, right? So anyway, so I started playing it, and then I'm like, oh, you know, that game has a replayability value to it. Civ Rev does. More than anything else. In terms of the 360, I guess. So anyway, I started just obsessively playing it and trying to get all the accomplishments. I'm currently at the point in that game where I'm missing four. What is it? 4 accomplishments to get them all. And it is the accomplishment to beat the game by, 1000 AD? And beating it, getting every type of victory. Oh, there's 3 types of victories, if I recall, on the absolute hardest level. I've beat the game on every level but the absolute hardest level. So that's where I'm kind of stuck on. But anyway, the reason I got kind of obsessive with playing that game was it's a game where you can play for hours on end, or you can play for a short time. You can go in, play a couple rounds, back out, and you're done. It's doable. I mean, unless like if you're playing Halo or something, you kind of want to get to the end of a chapter before you finish. And getting to that end of the chapter could take you a short time or a very long time. Like, it's when you're playing Halo, you kind of have to invest that you're going to play for a few hours or until you know, clear a couple chapters or whatever. You can't really put a time limit on it. So, the latest discovery, I started, again, it's one of those things. It's, my wife and Mr. Shank were playing State of Decay, which is an quote-unquote arcade game / independent release game released through the 360 network or Xbox Live or whatever, and it's also on Steam and I'm sure the PS network as well. But it's for all intents and purposes, it's an independent game. It's not it's not from a major label or whatever. So anyway, so I think Sylvie started playing that. I think we might have bought it. I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot, and I didn't really get into it. And then my wife was playing it, and Mr. Shank was playing it, and then, you know, next thing you know, wow, this guy's an a-hole. He wanted to turn right up ahead, and he's decided that he is just going to drive onto the sidewalk and across the grass to get into the turning lane. That is phenomenal. Awesome. Anyway, so I've become obsessed with getting all the accomplishments on State of Decay now in a very, very similar fashion. I did give up on Civ Rev for now, and I'm probably going to go back to it at some point. But anyway, right now I'm on State of Decay. And the reason I'm playing State of Decay, it has that same quality in that I can go ahead and play it for 10 minutes or 5 minutes even, or even, like, you know, I can play for a very short amount of time, set up some things, and then walk away, because of the nature of the game. And when my daughter was born, playing video games, there was a period where my wife and I were playing all the time, because, I mean, when you get your baby, they're a lump on the log, or they're sleeping, or you end up having a lot of time to do nothing. When they're first born, you get a little, you know, you get very little sleep, but you have times where you don't have to do anything. I mean, they drink milk, okay, so you don't have to prepare anything for them per se. And this fits right into the fatherhood theme. It's kind of strangely reflective of the first part of the podcast here. So I mean, you change the bum, you give them milk, they go back to sleep. And then they play, and they're playing by themselves on the floor. Well, they can't even move. They can barely hold their head up, so they're just playing on their back for a while. And then eventually they learn how to roll over, and then they're just playing on the front, but they can't crawl. So we had all that time where we were playing video games. And I think I started playing that video game at that point, but I was able to play more video games with my wife because we both had free time. As my daughter got older, it got to the point where, well, you know, she's getting into everything, and then she grabs the controller out of my hands, and so, you know, I wasn't playing video games when she was around, so I basically playing for a short little stint. Well, I got 10 minutes here just to, you know, just to scratch that itch to play something or anything, and it became the easy go-to game. So I'm going to offer a bit of an overview of the game here quickly, and rating of the game. In terms of ratings of the game, this game is better than most games put out than from most publishers out there. It is a phenomenal game. Replay value is really, really high because you start shooting for accomplishments in it. And the game doesn't always play exactly the same depending on which version of the game you're playing, because they have one game, two expansions. And recently, they've put it out in a full Xbox One version. I'm assuming there's a PS4 version and an upgraded version for PC as well. It wouldn't surprise me. But the whole point of getting on the upgraded system on the One or the Four is really like the expanded graphics, and they kind of, you know, tweaked a little things here and there, and they get a couple extra enhancements they've added to the game. And I was against kind of buying the new version. Like, I got the old version. How much better is it going to be? Well, it is dramatically better. Graphically, if you're into the graphics thing, it is better. But I noticed there's some control things on the controller that work better. They've added a few little tweaks in the game that really, well, I don't know if they're that great, but you get a few more vehicles available, and one of the vehicles is handy because it has lots of cargo space in it. So, what is State of Decay? My obsession with State of Decay has actually led me to... I like State of Decay so much for so many reasons, because it is like role-playing. It is like playing a role-playing game, like a tabletop. When I say role-playing game, I mean a real role-playing game. Tabletop, you know, your seven polyhedral dice, you know, your 20-siders and all those. And it's playing like old-school D&D, but playing a zombies game. And it's super fun, super addictive, and it would fit so much in that milieu of a tabletop role-playing game. Like all the aspects of it, the survival, the things you need to do, you know, it, And it was, I was thinking, like, man, you know, while I was playing this game, I was enjoying it so much, I was like, I want to play this on a tabletop. Because the one aspect of State of Decay that the game does not do, and it's only failure, if you want to call it a failure, is it does not have a cooperative mode of any kind, or no multiplayer mode of any kind. The intent when State of Decay was put together was specifically to make it a multiplayer game. And I can't remember the story is, but however the story works out is they decided to put the game out as is instead of adding the multiplayer functionality to it. I think the intent was always to make it a multiplayer game, but eventually it's like, well, we got to put this out. You know, I mean, I think this was their only game. I believe it was their only game. And it's one of those things, like, do you just keep going and keep tweaking and keep adding and keep going? And or do you just put out what you have? And they put out what they had. Well, the game was a huge hit. A very huge hit for them, and it was good that they released it because they were able to get some money back for their massive investment they put into it. So anyway, all that being said, game is phenomenal. I'm stuck in traffic. Oh, I hate working overtime because that's what happens. I get stuck in traffic. Really like to swear right now, but I won't because this is a family-friendly podcast. All right, so anyway, so what is the premise of the game? The best way I've had to describe what this game is to people that have not played it is that it crosses Grand Theft Auto. In Grand Theft Auto, I mean like the kind of top-down, third-person view, running around an open playground, driving cars, collecting stuff, shooting guns. It has that aspect of it. Cross with Sims, and when I say Sims, what part of that matches the Sims is you are responsible for maintaining resources, keeping morale up, so keeping your home happy, and making sure everyone's good, making sure everyone's well, making sure everyone's fed, making sure everyone's well rested. So those aspects of Sims crossed with I guess Dead Rising, so which is a zombie killing game. So you basically, that's what the game is. You're meshing all those things together while you're playing the game. What I really like about this and why I compare it to a tabletop role-playing game is you do have stats in the game, which is boy, let's see if I remember what the words. There's wits, which is responsible. So the wits is responsible for when you're searching. The higher your wits when you're searching for stuff in the game, if you're looking for food or you're looking for bullets, when you're searching, your ability, the speed of your search or your ability to search or how efficient you search is based on your wits. Your other stat is, I believe it's fighting is what it is. And fighting is, it controls your ability, how much damage you do when you hit with your weapon, how effective you are when you're hitting. The higher you're fighting, the less hits it takes to kill a zombie. And then you, besides that, what else do you have? You have stamina, which controls how long you can go. So if you're running through an open field, you get tired as you run, but the higher your level of stamina, the longer you can run. And then they have miscellaneous stats for your character, purely random, based upon what you do. So one person might have trivia, which doesn't really help you out, but you might also have cooking, which is applicable to if you have a kitchen in your home. Having a cook in that kitchen will determine how well eating affects everybody, how well fed people are. It might give stamina back. And you also have certain things like construction, I believe, is one of the other ones, which helps in when you're building things and how quick you build things. Research means if you have a library and you're going to research a new skill, your ability to research that skill. Anyway, so it's all little things like that. These are your stats. And then there's also stats that are based upon... they're little things you have that can impede your ability to do certain things. So it might be a smoker. So the smoker never gets... has a default negative on stamina-related things. You know, and that sort of thing. And the way these stats work is the more you use them, they go up. So they gain, each of your individual skills gets experience the more you use them, primarily in those three stats. And as you get any of those stats to level 4, it opens up other types of stat blocks. So, for example, if you get your fighting up to level 4, that opens up the a variety of stat blocks. So it would be... let's see, blunt weapons, sharp weapon, or sorry, edged weapons, or heavy weapons. You also have something called shooting, which that one expands into a various shooting things. So, for example, shooting with a handgun versus a revolver versus, and those are substat blocks for that. So once you expand into the second category, you're getting experience in the subcategory. I think you're also getting in experience in the main category too, but I'm not sure how that's distributed. Anyway, so I mean, there's that whole RPG side of it is, well, I'm getting things better, and it's totally based upon what you do. So anyway, yeah, I just saw one of my old drivers on the road here. Awesome. Okay, anyway, so the replayability is you can play how you want. If you really want to go towards being stealthy and sneaking around, which is based on your wits, by the way, so the higher your wits, the better you are at sneaking around and sneaking up on people. You can sneak up on zombies and kind of do an assassination kill on them, which doesn't use a weapon. You basically curb stomp the zombie, or you know, push the zombie into a house or a fence or whatever. And then there's so many layers to this game that makes this game so much fun. You have special infected zombies, or I guess they're not called special infected. They're basically a special class of zombies. So you have the Juggernaut, which is basically a big hulking figure that you can't take out like a regular zombie. You have to beat the living crap out of it, preferably with a vehicle or explosives or mines or whatever. You have the Feral, which is a tougher zombie, which is really, really fast. It tends to run on all fours, and if it gets the first hit on you, it knocks you down immediately. So if you can't attack that zombie before it gets you, you are foobarred, because it's got you down, and if you're surrounded by other zombies, the other zombies are going to pile on, and then you're just really, really, really hooped. You also get other special skills that pop up based on your fighting that allow you to do special maneuvers. So there might be a drop kick or a body slam. So using the body slam, you can run up to somebody and flip them over your head so they land on your back. And when any zombie is on its back, you can do an immediate assassination kill, so you don't have to keep schwacking at it until it's dead. And things like that, like... there's special stats, a stamina stat, the special sub-stamina thing is, as you're fighting, for every kill you get, your stamina goes up. While you're fighting, your stamina goes down, because it's rigorous activity. It's no different than running. Jumping over fences is rigorous activity. It uses your stamina. So kind of all little things like that. The game is really expansive, and you always have to, so you have to establish a camp. You have to keep the camp running. You have to build things in your camp. You have to convince people to come to your camp. You can set up outposts around your camp. So you have places that you can rig with explosives. So if any zombies come within range, the explosives can go off and kill them. So you can, you know, fortify and protect your camp. You can put a lookout tower that has a sniper there that can, you know, just pick zombies off as they get close. It's so fun. And I really, really wish that they would work on a second game or another expansion that, that adds a multiplayer facet to it, because this game is so much fun. It's so much fun that we did kind of our own multiplayer version of it, in that the three of us were playing the game at the same time, each on our own consoles, and we were kind of telling, okay, well, what did you do next? Okay, well, where are you now? Like, what are you doing? Couldn't see each other in our own game, but we were just trying to see, like, how the game plays out, because it plays out different every time. And the characters that pop up in the game, there are standard characters that show up in the game, but there's also there's a randomization factor in there. So if you're going to encounter a new group of survivors, you may try to encourage to join your group. They all have different random stats and that sort of thing. And you can switch between characters as well. You can stick with your character and try to, you know, keep bumping the character up and making the character better, keep going with the character and, you know, getting them better. But your characters eventually get tired and you want to switch out to a fresh character, and then the character just rests at base and keep going as is. So if you die in the game keeps going. You don't lose your progress in the game unless you've lost, I believe, if you've lost all the heroes, or if you're down, I think you have to have a minimum 4 characters or 3 characters in your camp. And if you lose too many characters, it's not enough to sustain the place you're living, and the game's over. Forces you to restart. So the main game is really fun. Breakdown, which is what I'm playing now, it's a level-based one where you have accomplishments you need to do or to get through on each level of gameplay. So at first level, you start at first level. Everything's first level. Everything's easier in the game. And then you have a set of accomplishments you need to do. So you need to get, 50 or 100 kills with a blunt weapon. You may need to establish 3 outposts or something. I can't remember what they all are. I haven't played the lower levels in a long time. But you have, I think you have like 5 or 6 accomplishments to do on each level. And once you get the accomplishment done for that level, you have to do what is the final section of the game in the regular game, which is to get everybody out of there. So you hop into, you find a bus, you fuel it up and you leave. And then once you leave, it restarts you over at level 2. And then you start at level 2, then you have to get, what is it, 50 or 100 kills with an edged weapon. You may need to do kills with a Molotov or with fire. Or you may need to do silent kills, like stalky, stealthy kills. Or you may need to do... you might need to kill 5 juggernauts or 5 ferals, or you may need to kill zombies with your car door. So many things to do, and there's so many hidden accomplishments in there that I'm trying for. I think I have a couple of them figured out what they might be. Anyway, the game is just immensely fun, and even when you're not playing in the campaign section of it, which is the main game, and you're just playing Breakdown, it's so much fun to play, and you just want to try all these things. And there's missions and stuff that you need to do in the campaign that move the story along, and then there's submissions. But when you're just playing the kind of the open game, which is the level game, which is called Breakdown, that's fun too, because you're going for accomplishments, but you're also trying stuff that you might have missed the first time through going on the game, which you could still get accomplishments for if you didn't, you know, succeed on getting the accomplishment originally. Phenomenal game. I like the game so much, and I really wanted to play the multiplayer aspect of it, which they never did, that I started building a role-playing game around it. Sure, there's various games, role-playing tabletop games you can play that are similar-ish to it, but what I've found is I haven't found one that matches the feel of this game, because it's the feel that I really, really enjoy and that I'd like to see. So I started working on building a tabletop, the direct conversion of the video game into a tabletop using the same stats, figuring out a rule system to follow. I wasn't sure, maybe I was going to use a D20 rule system to build the game, or I was going to use something pre-existing like Basic role-playing game, if you guys are familiar with that. Which I believe is the role-playing system you use for Call of Cthulhu and games similar to that. I was looking also at another system, I think it was called Legacy System, which is, I think, used for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly/Serenity. And then I also looked at using Alternity, because Alternity had some pretty cool rules, but what I was trying to simulate was the exact feel you get from the video game. So I was working on that for a while, and it was really, really complex, and you know, I thought, oh, I could do this. And the whole point of creating it, to create, and this is the board game I was talked about before in previous podcasts, eventually it evolved into just a board game, and I really, I mean, it started out being based on it, and then kind of morphed it into its own thing. And that's kind of the way things are in life. Like, you may, I mean, if you listen to Led Zeppelin and you really like Led Zeppelin, and then, you know, it influences your style of playing and how you write songs, you're not ripping off Led Zeppelin. You're paying homage to it because you just really, really love that style of music. And I did the same thing. I still would like to create a tabletop role-playing game based on it. And I do have the tools to put it together, and I would, if I ever get around to doing this, and I'm not really sure how much time I want to put into it, I would build the role-playing system around it based upon everything out there and just kind of create my own. So the tabletop version of it, which I'm still working on, came about from that. And the idea of the tabletop was originally to simulate the exact same experience, but it kind of developed into its own thing. So I started doing play tests. I created a set of rules, and through each edit of the rules, because I do a play test, and I tried play tests with different groups just to see what you could find, because sometimes the same group is going to have the same thing every single time. Like, it's not going to be they're going to find the same problems all the time. They're not going to invent new things to find, or they're not going to see new things to find and where the rules break down. So I did a play test with I believe it's 5 different groups, and then so the rules kept changing and kept getting further and further and further away, to the point it's not based on state of decay at all anymore. And really, like, so the mechanic, I had multiple mechanics in the game. By mechanics, I mean like a rule. And the best part to any board game for me is having a mechanic, not multiple mechanics, a mechanic that flows through everything. And everything else, everything in the game is based off that mechanic. And the reason to do that, the best games have it may have multiple different rules, but they're all based off that single mechanic. And everything you do can be based off that mechanic. So as we play tested it, and I mean, originally the rules were like 11 pages long, and really, really complex with all these different things. You can collect all these different weapons. There was all these different stats and all this stuff. And eventually I get it down to a point that I get the rules down to, I think it's 6 pages now. Really simplified the whole thing, really made it work. And right now there's a couple of lingering things that aren't quite working. I don't like the way it plays out. It's a couple of things I put in there based off the variation of the principal mechanic. It's too lengthy, and it's too hard to explain. And I like complex rules in a board game. I certainly do. You know, playing Carcassonne, or playing a Ticket to Ride, or Settlers of Catan. Like, I love those games. But the way those games, if you break any of those games down, everything works around a single mechanic that everything plays off of. Settlers of Catan, for example, it's about acquiring resources to buy something. That is the mechanic. And everything that happens in that game is based off of that mechanic. Whether you're buying a road, or whether you're buying a town or a city, it's all based off that simple mechanic. And it's just a variation of that mechanic that runs that entire game. Same thing with a game like Pandemic. Everything's based off that mechanic. So I was able to get it down to that single mechanic, and the couple of sticklers that I'm fighting with are things that take away from the mechanic and complicate the mechanic too much that it takes away from the fun. So I've, and it's really, and what it is the random factor of it, because every game will have a random factor. The random factor is what I'm fighting with and how to execute that random factor. Originally, the random factor was based upon a dice roll, a single dice roll, and the dice roll was based upon the dice roll mechanic, but the randomness of it was too much and too one-sided. So if you had someone that was rolling sixes heavy a lot in the game, their chances of winning overshadowed by too large a margin anyone else. And the defeat of rolling a one was way too large on that six-sided die. So there's something not broken there, but something I can fine-tune and make better. So I'm hoping to do some playtesting after Eleanor, my second child, is born. And I'm really working towards, if I can fine-tune that mechanic, then I would want to go to the next phase. But getting the mechanic figured out is the big thing. Once I get the mechanic figured out and have the basic rules down, and I think I've gone through 8 edits so far of the rules, I think then what's going to happen is I'm going to work towards establishing more predominantly what the playing board is going to look like. I'm using a combination of currently existing playing boards to make the game work, but I'm going to implement I'm actually going to go ahead and design an actual playing board once I have everything else defined. And I'm also going to look into tokens and playing pieces and all that sort of stuff, so I have something more formalized. I do have access to 3D printing. I do have access to map making and printing on a harder stock for a playing board. And I'm still tweaking with the idea of the playing board being set, or the playing board having variations. So one side of the playing board might be one style of play that's easier, and the second side of the playing board being a more difficult version of the same game. So anyway, I'm still playing with those ideas, but I'm just trying to fine-tune those last final mechanics of it. So that's what's up with me. That's what I'm working on right now. That's what's going on. If anyone's interested in future playtesting of this, once I get to the next stage and get past my current 5 gaming playtest groups, let me know, because once I have something I can roll out and send to some people to do the playtest, I can send out some samples out to some people that want to try it. But I need to get past this this last edit of the rules to figure out those last 2 bits of the mechanic that need some tweaking. So that's Sean around for now. Quick review of State of Decay. It's a must buy. You can obsessively play this. The replayability factor in the game is higher than most games I know of. It's as high and as addicting as the replayability factor within Civilization, CivRev. Anyway, so that's what I got for you. We'll talk to you next time. And peace out and love, hugs, kisses, all those things. Be sure to love your family, because they are everything you are. And be sure to keep your friends close, because your friends are extensions of your family. Peace, love, and hugs. We'll talk to you guys later on the road.